I'm really excited to be here today. Like my dad said, I've been living in Oklahoma the past 5 years. I went down there for Bible school, really just thought I was going to be there a year, and have been there ever since. So just kind of waiting on God. Whatever he tells me to do next, I will. But 6 months ago, we did get to tag team preach. And every time I come home, my dad always asks me, you know, do you want to preach this week? And I always say, no, I'm on vacation. You know, I don't want to do that. And so when we did it, you know, it's kind of him showing me the ropes when we got to tag team of the family business. And this was one aspect of the family business that I didn't want anything to deal with. I like he said, I love doing the children's ministry, the youth group, nursery, behind the scenes stuff. I've even had to do sound once or twice. Not a big fan of doing that either. So, but I'm really excited to be here today to speak. I really feel like God gave me a word, and so I'm just very excited about that. Recently had been praying and asking God, you know, God, I feel like you're telling me to speak, but you're going to have to give me sermons because I have no idea what to do. And I was listening to the audiobook that Jason had recommended, I Am a Church Member, a few weeks ago. And a few weeks before that, I had been praying. I'm like, okay, God, you know, start giving me these sermon ideas. And so I'm laying at the pool, okay, of all places. I'm laying at the pool and listening to this audiobook. And then God just started downloading to me this sermon. And I was like, okay, I need to leave. I need to go back home and start writing this down. So it was just amazing. But when God speaks to you, you have to do it. And he can speak to us at the craziest moments, at the craziest times, wherever we are. But I called my dad at the pool and I was like, hey, I think I'm supposed to preach. And he's like, what week do you want to do it? Because he knew I was coming home. And so, you know, he's been very supportive. And so I'm very thankful for that. And I might be a little biased, but I truly believe that you guys have some of the best pastors in the world here. And I just want to take a moment to honor them. So Pastor Brad and Denise, my parents, thank you guys for all that you do. So. So being a pastor is not an easy job. And I mean, I can't say from personal experience, but I have been a PK for about 22 years. Our parents started the church in 96. And so PK stands for pastor's kid, in case you didn't realize that. But something I have seen over the years in ministry is a pastor has to be called into the ministry because it isn't for everyone. And in 1 Timothy 3, 2 through 4, it says, it gives the qualifications for a pastor. Now the overseer is to be above reproach, faithful to his wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money. He must manage his own family well and see that his children obey him, and he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect. And so the title of my sermon today is How to Pray for Your Pastor. But before we dive in, I want to pray, so if you'll agree with me. Dear Jesus, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to come and to give this word today. Lord, I pray that they are not my words, but your words used through me. I thank you for every heart to be open to what you have to say, and thank you for being with us today, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So when you are a pastor, you have eyes from all over the place watching your every move about decisions you make for the church, sermons you speak, and so much more. It's almost like being the president, except totally different job duties. And so there's always going to be critics out there telling you what you're doing wrong. And I've heard pastors tell stories of emails they've gotten about clothes that they were wearing or the lights being too bright or the music being too loud. And I mean, when I lived here, I used to pick out my dad's outfits for him every week. And he usually leaves before mom is up. So I don't know what he looks like every week. So I don't think we've gotten any emails yet. But sometimes for pastors, it's like living in a glass house and everyone is watching you. And I know as a pastor's kid, I felt that way. I felt judged by people in the community more, people in the church. And it was kind of like having a magnifying glass on us to they wanted to see when we did something wrong and to prove that we weren't a perfect family. And a pastor is called into ministry, but they're still human. And as humans, we make mistakes. We're not all perfect. But a pastor is held to a higher standard. And in James 3:1, the Amplified version, I think we have that. Not many of you should become teachers serving in an official teaching capacity. My brothers and sisters, for you know that we who are teachers will be judged by a high standard because we have assumed greater accountability and more condemnation if we teach incorrectly. Did you know that your pastor has a target on his back? The devil sees the pastor as a threat and he wants to take him down. So my first point is pray for your pastor's protection. Now, this might not just be his physical protection, but even the words that are said against them. I will never forget our church playing in a slow pitch league. It was probably 15 or so years ago, and we were the only church in that league. And some of the teams, they didn't like our team because we were good. And as in we, I don't mean me because I was too young to play, but y'all, some of you are out there, I can see you, and I'm pretty sure there's trophies somewhere in the church to prove how good we were. And some friends and I happened to be walking by the opposing team's dugout, and my dad, Pastor Brad, he was up to bat. And he hit that ball all the way into the outfield. Now, he doesn't look like he could be the fastest person in the world, but he could round those bases so fast that he made it all the way to home plate, and the ball wasn't even close to getting him out. And while I was standing by the opposing team's dugout, I heard somebody in the dugout start saying terrible things about my father, all because he hit a home run. And I was just like, I just got so furious. I got so upset because not only was this my father that they were saying bad things about, but it was the pastor. And I was furious. And of course, like, I wanted to punch this person, but I was little and scrawny and it wouldn't have been the Christian thing to do. So I walked away. But after the game, I was still so upset and I went to go tell my dad what was said about him. And you know what he didn't even care. He didn't even care what was said about him. And I was completely shocked that he didn't care what people said about him. And not only did he not care, is he didn't even join in talking negatively about this person because of what they said. I mean, I was ready to have words with her, but he didn't care. And I was just so in awe of how my dad reacted to that situation and so many others. And as Christians, we need to learn to respond, how to respond and not react. Because as humans, we do. We have emotions that are all over the place. And I'm not just talking about the emotions like crying at Hallmark commercials, because some of you might say you're a macho man and you don't get emotional. But anger and irritation, those are emotions. And that is something that we can learn from our pastor, is truly how to respond in those moments when we want to react. And that is one thing I can say firsthand that your pastor doesn't do. He never speaks negatively about a person. Now, if they are in the wrong, of course, as being the pastor, he is supposed to correct you, but he does it in a way that doesn't put you down, and he teaches you. But he never joins in the gossip, and he deals with criticism in a godly way. Because pastors are constantly getting arrows thrown at them. Because like I said earlier, the enemy thinks of the pastor as a threat. So we need to pray for protection for our pastor and his family. My second point is to pray for your pastor's sermons. The pastor has to have an intimate relationship with God because he has to hear from the Lord each week on what to speak to the congregation. Now, I said earlier that the Lord had given me this sermon, but it's not easy putting a sermon together. Granted, I am a rookie, And I am just in awe of how Pastor makes preaching look, preaching a sermon each week. And he was trying to give me tips on how to do like an outline and bullet points. And I was like, no, I need to write word for word. And he's like, well, how many pages is it? And I go, well, it's 5 pages. And he's like, oh my gosh. And I was like, don't worry, it's not a very long sermon. So don't worry, we'll get out on time today. But that was just something I was like, I'm just not there yet. I can't just have bullet points. I need to have, you know, the word for word. But I really do. I love listening to my dad preach. And I always go to our church website, usually a few days after he preaches on Sunday, to listen to his sermons. And one thing that I can say about his sermons when I listen to them is that they're spirit-led. Because I can tell that the pastor hears from God on what is supposed to be spoken at that specific time. And personally, I know there's been times that he has had a sermon prepared and all done and ready to go, but God had directed him in a different way that week to preach. And personally, I would be a little stressed out because I had 2 weeks to prepare for this sermon. So thankfully, God didn't give me another word like last night, because I probably would have been nervous. But thankfully, our pastor hears from the Lord, and he does what is best for the congregation, and not just what he wants and what he thinks you guys need to hear, but he does it God's way. And so, do you ever feel like the pastor is reading your mail and the words that he's preaching are directly for you? Well, they probably are, because, like I said, his sermons are spirit-led. And I know I've felt that multiple times. And in my head, I'm like, oh my gosh, how does the pastor know that I needed that word or that I was going through that? And we might not feel that way every time, but we need to have an open heart to listen each week for what God wants us to receive. Now, this doesn't happen in our church, but when you're praying for your pastor's sermons and for hearts of everyone to receive, don't pray what you want him to speak on. It's not our job to tell the pastor what to preach each week. That is what the Holy Spirit is for. And so if you're going to pray for your pastor's sermons, don't pray what you want or think others around you need to hear, but pray that he receives wisdom from the Lord on what to speak, and that it's going to be a word in season for all of us. My next point is pray for your pastor's health. Most occupations, you're not on call 24/7. But as a pastor, you receive calls at any hour of any day. And we need to pray for the strength of our pastor and for the wisdom of how he needs to respond to the decisions that he makes daily for the church and for the congregation. Now, I feel like my parents did a really good job of balancing spending time with our family and the needs of people in the church, but sometimes I was selfish. I wanted my parents just to focus on me and not everyone else. And I remember one Memorial Day, our family was going to a movie together, so we were in Ottumwa and we were out to eat, and we were getting ready to head to the theater, when my dad got a call that somebody in the church had been in an accident and that they were rushed to the hospital in Ottumwa. And so my dad said, we're going to go pray for this person. Now, this person wasn't in critical condition, and we totally could have gone another time. So don't think I'm a horrible person. But I was so mad that we had to postpone going to the movie. Granted, we went and saw a later showing of it that day, but I just wanted one day where my parents didn't have church interruptions and needed to go pray with someone. And as I say that, I sound super selfish. And honestly, I had to do a heart check when we went to the hospital that day. And I will never forget the reaction that person had when we went to visit them and pray for them in the hospital. They were so touched by the whole thing, and I started to see my parents in a different light. This was one of the few times that my parents took us to go pray for someone. Usually the boys and I stayed home, And I realized that my parents didn't just go to pray for someone because they had to. They did it because they wanted to. And I know there's some of you in here that my parents have gone and prayed with you or visited you at the hospital. And even strangers have called pastor lying on their deathbed to pray with them. And I know that can't be easy. But I've never seen my parents complain about having to go to pray for someone at any hour. They don't do it because they are asked. They do it because they truly want to. And you are all family to them, and they are there for their family. So we need to continue to pray for our pastor to keep him strong and healthy and for strength and for wisdom. So in closing, I want to challenge us to spend 5 minutes a day praying for pastor. Not only praying for our pastor, but praying for pastors in general, because the churches are being attacked, and prayer is how we keep the churches healthy. And you may have thought, I know I've thought at times, oh, I don't need to pray for the pastor because there's so many other people that are probably praying for him. Or the pastor already has such an intimate relationship with God. Why do I need to pray for him if he already has an intimate relationship with God? I could be praying for someone else. And those are examples, are the reasons why we need to pray for our pastors. We need our pastors to lead us during times where there is so much going on in this world. Now, I personally do not know a lot about sheep. I know that they're cute and they're white and they're fluffy, but my grandparents, they were cattle farmers. And so, but a shepherd leads the flock and they stay with them. He takes them to the pasture to be fed and ponds to drink water. He makes sure that no one is left behind. And in Jeremiah 3:15, it says, "Then I give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." And thankfully, we have a pastor that is feeding us spiritually every week and doesn't want to see anyone left behind. Pastor is going to continue to pray for us all. He prays for this church. He prays for the congregation. He prays for the community. And he prays for this nation. He prays daily, and he is in constant communication with God. He has an intimate relationship with God. But to help deflect those attacks that the enemy is trying to throw at our pastor, they can be deflected with your prayer. So pray for the protection of your pastor. Pray for the sermons of your pastor. And pray for the health of your pastor. Because prayer changes things. And I truly believe that this church is getting ready to go to the next level. And one way we can help do that is through prayer. Because we need to be a praying congregation. We need to pray for our pastors. And right now, I would like Pastor and Denise to come up front. Mom, if you can't, it's okay. But I just have it on my heart to lay hands and pray for them. So if anybody else would like to come and pray for them. But I truly want to take this moment to honor them and just thank them for all they do and just to bless them.